This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Logan Shannon in for Virginia Prescott. Years ago, in the early days of the internet, a file type came into the world that had the ability to compress an image file without losing any data in the process. Now, there's a lot of technical jargon that goes along with this, which I won't bore you with. All you need to understand is that it was a really big deal. But much like a prescription drug getting used for an off-label use, the graphic interchange format, or GIF as it is more commonly referred to as, started doing a job it was never designed to do. Now, these days, the GIF has become the de facto file type for those animated looping videos you see just about everywhere. And in just a few short years, its dominance on the internet seems to have been solidified. So how did a file type that developers at one point tried to kill come roaring back? Eric Limer is deputy editor at popularmechanics.com, where he wrote the article, "The GIF is Dead, Long Live the GIF." And Eric, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
Since you and I, we've already established that you and I are in agreement about the pronunciation of this particular file type, I'm going to move along to the next question, which is the origin story of the GIF. What was the file type's initial intended purpose?
So the GIFs, what the GIF was originally made for is nowadays it usually gets used for animation, but when it was first created by Steve Wilhite at CompuServe in 1987, it was designed to be a static image file.
Like a JPEG or something.
Like exactly like a JPEG or like a PNG, which would come along later. And it was made to just display pictures and to take the data inside a picture and squeeze it down as much as possible. I mean, this was before the World Wide Web. Space on computers was extremely limited. And so being able to store even things like a picture, which today are so small you kind of don't even think about them.
Right.
It was a really big deal. And the GIF was able to take pictures that actually looked something close to photographs and shrink them down into sizes where you could, you know, put them on CDs or even floppy disks or share them on BBSs on the pre-World Wide Web.
And so this is what you sort of talked about this in your article. It was a thing where, like, people could buy a CD and it had thousands of GIFs on it. And this was like a total, that's what was so amazing about it, that you could have so many photos in a place that you really couldn't have them before.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. That CD, GIFs Galore, which you can look up, and it just has a little picture of a wizard on it. It's like, oh, it's magic.
Okay, so the GIF was a really great file type for static images, but then now we know the GIF really as an animation tool. So what's wrong with using basically something that was meant for a static picture as an animation tool?
So the problem really was that when they added the animation capabilities to the GIF in like 1989, it was just sort of a afterthought. It was sort of on a lark. This animation stuff wasn't built into the GIF when the GIF was first created. When it first created, it was only for still images. And so when they added in this animation thing, they added it in a very simple way. The way it would work is like the way a flipbook might work, where, you know, on a flipbook you draw each frame on every page, and then you play them in order, and it goes, and you have a little video. But the problem is that you have to draw every single frame, right?
Yeah.
If you have a GIF that's 30 frames long, it's actually 30 whole pictures in one. And that wasn't bad at the time. The thing is, modern video is so much smarter than the GIF is, which lets it be smaller, it lets it be faster, it can play while it's loading, that's what streaming is. The GIF can't do any of those things. It's very much still stuck in like the early 90s, where video is cutting edge nowadays.
I'm speaking with Eric Limer. He's deputy editor of Popular Mechanics, and we're talking about the long and weird history of the GIF. I have to make an admission here. I am a self-proclaimed lover and prolific user of GIFs. And what everything you're saying to me makes total sense, that video just really seems a better way of doing this. Should I stop using GIFs?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a tough call. Like, one of the things I learned while I was in the course of writing this story is that video, for a bunch of technical reasons, is way better than the ancient creaky GIF, right? Yeah. It's faster, and you can make them look prettier. It won't use up the data cap on your phone and take forever when you're trying to look at them. But the thing that is amazing about the GIF file format is because since it's been around since the late 80s, it existed before the World Wide Web. Like, literally everything supports it. The coolest thing about a GIF is that if you see one, if somebody shares one with you on a chat service or whatever, you can just download it to your hard drive and then put it someplace else, and it'll always work. And you can sort of build up this little collection. You can have your own library of GIFs, which is so cool. And no video service, really, or video GIF service has been able to replicate that, right? Like, using something like Giphy or any of these other services that transform your GIFs into video is a lot more like using Netflix. You don't have the thing anymore. You have access to it. It's out there on the internet. But when you're using actual GIFs, even though they're so much less efficient, you can download them and build the collection and have it. Like, it'll be on your hard drive forever, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
So one thing, you mentioned this in your article. I know that Giphy actually sent a notification to me. As I said, I'm a big user of GIFs, so I'm on their secret mailing list, I think, at this point. But they're now saying that you can download GIFs as like video files. Are they trying to shift us away from these sort of this kind of bulky file into video?
I don't know. I talked to them for my story, and they gave me an answer that makes a lot of sense. But it was also a little bit cagey. So when I asked them what they thought about GIF files, they said something that I said earlier, which is what is great about GIF files is that they work everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's what its goal is. Like, Giphy has apps on all kinds of, you know, it's hooked into like Tinder. They have keyboards for a phone that bring in GIFs. They let you put GIFs on Facebook. They let you put GIFs on Twitter. None of the things on those services are actually real GIFs. They're some weird, specific, but technically better video file. They're in a position where they could kind of just reinvent the GIF if they wanted to, but then it would be something that they own, and it would be something very different.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about it, too. I think you just need to keep calling it a GIF. I mean, who cares what happens on the back end? Everyone knows what a GIF is at this point. To take away the name would just be confusing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that people have said when they've rolled out these GIF video formats, is they'll make a distinction between the technology of the GIF and the culture of the GIF. So you can think of it as the GIF or the dot GIF. Like, those are two related but different things. The thing that gets a little bit sticky, though, is when you move to these sort of video things and the little animation is no longer tightly packaged in its own little file. It doesn't belong to you when you have it. It lives on the internet someplace, right? If Giphy was to reinvent the GIF and have it be a video thing and all GIFs live on Giphy.com, now all of a sudden it's like Netflix, where you don't necessarily know if your favorite movie might be there this month, but not next month.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are a lot of GIFs of like clips of TV shows and other, you know, little pop culture things. And one of the reasons that that has been allowed to happen is because the companies that own the TV shows that these GIFs are being made out of can't really do anything to stop people from making them. It was just like when the Olympics said, like, no, you can't make GIFs of the Olympics. It was like, well, how? Try to stop me. And if GIFs sort of become this online thing that's owned by a company, it'll be more like YouTube, that you will be able to stop them. Somebody else actually sort of pointed this out to me about the story, but the story of the GIF is sort of the story of the open internet and the death of the open internet. When it was in its height in like the early mid 2000s, when the web was really sort of taking off, it was the standard that everybody agreed upon and everybody could use, and nobody had any control over it. And now, as we move to the internet of 2016, where everything is owned by a company that's trying to go public and trying to make money, that gets tightened down. And so we'll never really see a file like that that is so open and so widespread ever again. That sort of little technological miracle just isn't possible anymore.
Oh, Eric, that is a perfect way to end this conversation. Long live the GIF. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Eric Limer is deputy editor at Popular Mechanics, where he wrote the article, "The GIF is Dead. Long live the GIF." We've got a link to read it and see some of our favorite GIFs. That's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.